Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. Welcome back, everyone, to a special bonus episode today. As many of our listeners know, we are still on summer break, and we will have our regular episodes coming back this fall. But here are a few announcements before we dive into this week's bonus episode. The Literary Escape Book Club is here. You can now become a member for just $7 a month or $70 for the year. Just head on over to literaryescape.com and click on Book Club in the menu to join. So what exactly is the Literary Escape Book Club? It's an exclusive community where readers who appreciate passionate but pure Christian romance can come together in a more intimate setting. When you join the book club, you'll receive, first, exclusive online author events where we can chat directly about books, writing, and all things historical and contemporary suspense romance. I'm talking Q&A sessions, behind-the-scenes peeks at my writing process, and special guest appearances from other authors in these genres. Second, free ebooks for all my new releases. That's right, as a member, you'll automatically receive an ebook copy of every new novel I publish delivered straight to your inbox. Third, early access to signed paperbacks and merchandise before they're available to the general public. You'll be the first in line for signed copies, special editions, and any bookish merchandise we create. Fourth, regular door prize drawings exclusively for members. Throughout the year, we'll be giving away signed books, exclusive merchandise, and other special surprises. And finally, a community of readers who appreciate the same kind of stories you do, a place where we can discuss the books we love. This membership also supports our Literary Escape podcast, so if you enjoy the content that we put out, please consider becoming a member, as it costs to create a podcast each week, and your support is greatly appreciated. So come join us in the Literary Escape Book Club today. Head on over to literaryescape.com. And in other news, our next Coffee and Books event will be on Tuesday, June 24th from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join authors Lynn Shannon, Crystal Cottle, and myself for an hour of book talk. Be sure to sign up for this free event at literaryescape.com/events to receive a link to join in. The Kickstarter campaign for my novel, Uncharted Trials, is complete, and thank you to everyone who purchased a limited edition cover. Your purchase helps cover publication costs. So stay tuned as Uncharted Trials releases this month, which means a cover reveal is coming soon along with pre-orders. And now let's dive into today's bonus episode, where we will be talking with author Elizabeth Goddard. Welcome, everyone, to another Friday Literary Escape Book Club podcast. I am so excited to have Elizabeth Goddard here with us today, and we are going to talk about her second book in her Hidden Bay series that's coming out in July. So welcome, Elizabeth.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, and we're excited to have you because I mentioned before we started recording, you are new to our podcast, but you fit right in with our contemporary Christian suspense romance. So excited to dig into your book. So before we dive into that, I am always curious how our authors got into a writing career. So can you share a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah, I'll share the short version because there's a long version too. But, you know, I was just an avid reader growing up, and it was just always in the back of my mind, I think, you know, to pursue writing. I didn't know what, you know, whether it was articles or novels, but I loved reading romantic suspense, historical romantic suspense, and contemporary. And so it was in 2001 that I joined ACFW, and at the time it was American Christian Romance Writers, but they changed it to American Christian Fiction Writers to include everyone. I joined the group and I just started submitting a chapter a week to a critique group. And, you know, over time, going to conferences, and I think I went to probably 5 years worth of conferences before I sold my first book. But, you know, it took me a long time. So my first book came out in 2007. And with Heartsong Presents. And then a few years later, I sold to Love Inspired Suspense. And then I was writing for them, I'm trying to think, for 6 or 7 years before I also added Revell, which is the publisher of the book that we're talking about today. So I've been writing for quite a while, but it was just a slow progression for me, just the dream and the thought, and then just finally going to conferences and figuring out, how do I get published? And it took a lot of sacrifice, you know, for my family, because I was having baby, you know, during that period of time, I was having my children, I was homeschooling them, but it was always a lot of fun to get together with all my writing friends and meet and network with agents and publishers and editors and make friends.
Yeah. And your story sounds so familiar to many others that we've had on the podcast. It starts off as a dream, but it takes time to make it a reality, for sure.
Yes. A lot of hard work. But then at the end of that trail, and I hope this isn't the end, but yeah, it's a journey. And so I feel like I'm in a good place finally. It just took me a long time to get here.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I love it. So we're talking about your Hidden Bay series, which is new to me. I do have book one, but I haven't dove in yet. I'm hoping to maybe this weekend. But can you just give us an overview of that series?
Yes, Hidden Bay is set on the Washington coast, Washington State, and part of the Olympic Peninsula, and it's rocky, cold, rough waters, crashing waves. It's kind of set around what I call a storm watching lodge, but it's just a lodge where people can go to watch the storms come in, which they do in the wintertime, especially because, you know, you can see out over the Pacific and the waves are just huge and crashing against the, it's very spectacular. And it's set at the lodge mainly where I have all these different characters come in that have come to the lodge to hide. And this is mainly facilitated by a character called Evelyn Monroe. And she was just kind of a name in the first book, but by the third book, she kind of has her own story that I had to write by the third book. But the first book is about a character that is there hiding from something in the past. The second book, which we're going to talk about today, is about a forensic artist hiding. And then danger finds them there at the lodge. So again, it's set on the West Coast. And I just love nature. And I love, you know, creating my stories around an amazing setting like that. So I had a lot of fun writing it.
And do you live on the West Coast as well?
I do now, but I have traveled and lived in many states, and I lived in Grants Pass, Oregon from 2005 to 2010. I'm a Texan, first of all, let me just say, on both sides of the family. So I lived there until I was about 40, and then we moved to Grants Pass, Oregon, and I explored the Redwood Forest, and then I got a taste for the beauty that is there. And so I have set many books in the Pacific Northwest. In 2019, we actually moved from Michigan to Washington. So I've been here for about 6 years now, and we just built a house and moved into it in November. That's about an hour from the coast. So I can go explore all the places I love to write.
Well, that's wonderful. So you have that firsthand experience then when it comes to getting the setting set up for your readers. That's awesome. That's awesome. Not every author can say that, for sure.
Well, I haven't been able to say it all the time, but if I haven't been somewhere, I just, you know, I talk to experts, I watch the videos, I watch the YouTube videos, I, you know, talk to everybody, and I try to get it all right. And so far, I've had most people say, you know, I hit it spot on. So we do the best that we can, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's wonderful. So what was your inspiration then behind the Hidden Bay series?
Well, I believe, as I just said, the Washington coast, I always wanted to write a series set there, you know, walking on the beach. And it was just like in the high cliffs looking over. And I think, too, I grew up reading Victoria Holt and Phyllis Whitney, very gothic kind of romances. And, you know, they just the image of a mansion on top of a cliff overlooking these crashing waves is just kind of in my mind and my thoughts. And that's really what I did for the Cedar Trails Lodge, which is. It's actually modeled after Claylock Lodge, which is on the West Coast. It's just Storm Watching Lodge. So I kind of modeled it after that, but it's kind of that feel of you know, just some of the books I've read growing up. And then I saw this coast and it's just gorgeous. And I wanted to set a series there. So that's the total inspiration for everything behind it.
Oh, I love it. I'm getting really excited. I can't wait to even start the series. And it's Perilous Tides, correct, is book two. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit more about that one because that's the book that's getting ready to come out. It'll be out in July of 2025. And so can you just share a little bit about what readers can expect from that novel?
All right. This is two characters that we met from book one, and Joe Cottrell is a forensic artist that has been hiding. Her mother was murdered in Michigan, and she came to the Stormwatching Lodge that we just talked about to hide. And then she met her father. She didn't know growing up, and he sent her a cryptic message because he had to go hide somewhere. So she goes out of hiding to chase after him or look for him, and she's on a ferry crossing Puget Sound when she witnesses a murder. She is then the killer then tries to kill her by putting her in a car and the body of the person he murdered in a car and sinking it off the ferry. And so kind of the whole book kind of starts with all of that, a lot of adrenaline and danger. And then the hero shows up to rescue her. And it's a reunion romance because she met the hero in the previous book. And so they have to get back together to find out where the danger is coming from, what's happening to her father, who killed her mother. And it's just, you know, all this constant trying to figure out what's going on and danger coming at them from all sides. That's kind of what I do. And then I throw in all of the adventure and all of the beauty and everything from nature around them too. I throw that in too, because I love all of that. And so it makes it more suspenseful and more intriguing to add, make the setting a character, if you will.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. This sounds great. So I do have to ask for your suspense level. We do a rating where it's espresso means there's an expression of it. Mocha, mm-hmm. there's a medium amount, and latte, there's a lot. So for this book, would you go the suspense level? Would you mark it espresso, mocha, or latte?
Oh my goodness. Well, you know, that's really relative because everybody's got a different idea of what that is. I would say that it's pretty intense, which would that be latte? But my books are not, they're not like scary or bloody or gratuitous violence or anything of that nature, you know, so they can be very high suspense, but you're not going to be going, oh, I can't read that or, you know, anything like that. So if that makes sense.
It does make sense. And that lines perfectly with the type of books we already have had on the podcast in this genre.
Good.
When we say, and it's interesting, you're right. Every reader has their own, because when we go through it, I know two of the ladies in the group are always going to say it's a latte because they don't like a ton of suspense. Whereas I might go, I think it's more mocha. Right.
Right. So that's a hard one to call, but I try to write very high suspense, but you know, it's up and down and up and down. The reader has to have a moment to catch their breath. My characters have to have that. And so I just try to keep it intense, but it's not going to be extremely violent.
Yeah.
Or yeah. Bloody.
Yes. Yes. Which we don't want those.
I don't want to read it, so I'm not going to write it.
And I love the mystery part of it. And I would love to know, do you know who the murderer is, right? Or the villain is before you start writing the story? Or is it something you figure out as you're writing?
Well, I used to have to write and outline all my stories ahead of time because I wrote for Love Inspired Suspense. But in writing for Revell, I have found that even though it's a harder process, I think it is more organic and it's more fulfilling if I just figure it out as I go too, because, you know, what surprises me will also surprise the reader. Mm-hmm. I think if we know ahead of time, you know, we can try to steer people ahead, but there's just that feeling that's always going to be there that, oh, it's this person, you know, or this is the killer, because we know who it is as we're writing. So I think it works better for everyone. And I don't really know, but even in books where I did know who it was, oftentimes I've gone back and changed it, you know, decided, oh, this person works better. So I think the sky's the limit. It's all up in the air till I'm done. You know, I'm just constantly massaging everything and trying to work it out to where it's just right, even if I had an outline, let's say.
Yeah, I think that makes it fun. We had Lynn Shannon, I don't know if you're familiar with her work, on the podcast, and she said something very similar. She goes, I never know who it is till I write the end. And she always has two or three that it could be. So,
right. Right.
And so that's how Yeah, if that's how you write, I'm going to love it because I love, my goal is always to solve it before we get to the end, but I love it when authors stump me and I don't get it, you know?
I don't actually really write true mysteries in that, you know what I'm talking about, like let's say cozy mystery where you have all these different red herrings and different possible people. I just really lean into the suspense and it's not a true mystery in that way. However, people read them with trying to, I figured out who it was. And a lot of times I want to say, well, you know, you had a 50% chance of, you know, you had a third, because you can't really figure it out because I didn't even know,
you know,
whoever it is. But yes, my goal definitely is to stump readers. I think what I really strive for is the big twist and the big surprise you didn't see coming. You know, no matter who the bad guy is, I just want there to be this huge surprise that, you know, just leaves readers stunned and just not expecting that at all. So I love to write the very unexpected kind of story.
I enjoy that too. My second book has huge twists in it. I don't think my readers are going to expect. So I understand there is some joy in that.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
As you're writing, for sure. All right. Were there any characters or scenes that gave you trouble?
Oh gosh, everything, all of them. My writing process, I think I mentioned, you know, just as organic, but that's really not the easiest way to write because every day is pretty much brutal. What am I doing today? What am I writing? Which way am I going? And just trying to figure out, I don't even know really who the characters, I don't know the characters until I get into the story and live their life. And then I figure out who they are and get to know them. So, you know, all the scenes, especially the middle, you know, you heard of the sagging middle, you know, it's hard to get going and the middle is hard. And then the ending though, if you have all the pieces together, that goes pretty fast. But
yeah,
now that I'm talking to you, I'm thinking, you know, really the hardest part for me is always going to be starting a book, how to open it, where to open it, you know, because you have to ground your readers without giving too much away. That's how I look at it. You know, and you don't want an information dump. You just want to give them enough information and it's got to be compelling enough that they keep reading. So for me, that is the hardest part every single time.
That hook part, right? I've got to get them wanting to learn more or read more about.
Right, right. And there's many times I have gone back to rewrite the beginning because I'm, you know, I've got my book going and then I also have to include a teaser early on for Rebel because they put it in the back of the last book, you know, and when I've got that written, I am married to that, you know, for the rest of the book. So, you know, I have to get it right. But there's been times where I'll read another book. I'm like, oh my goodness, my opening is terrible. I have to go back and write it. And then I've had friends go, oh my gosh, your opening was so good. I had to go back and rewrite my opening. So it's hard, you know, but we give ourselves space to rework it, rewrite it if we need to.
Yeah, which is wonderful. Did you have a favorite character so far in this series that you've really enjoyed writing?
Well, I think that now that I turned in book three a couple months ago, and that character I think is probably going to be Evelyn Monroe. I didn't write from her point of view, but you know, she kind of grew as she's a person who facilitates and owns the lodge, people coming there to hide. So the question is, why and who is she really? And so that just became more and more of a something I needed to answer. And my editor even brought that up. I said, I'm already planning on answering that. And so I came up with her backstory and all the things I didn't know about. And she just really is a fascinating character. If I wasn't writing a book where it was just two points of view, really, I might've added her in, but I only have so much word count and that would have probably added 30,000 more words to add another character in. Anyway, yeah, I'm going to say Evelyn Monroe, but again, she's not the heroine. She doesn't have any romance or any part of that story, but it's just who she is. She's kind of the foundation of the whole series, if you will.
Yeah. It sounds like she's one of those amazing supporting characters that you just love. So that I always like to do the flip. So you do your favorite. Do you have one that's your least favorite character?
Well, I don't have anybody that's least favorite, but I will say that I get so focused on the main characters that I forget about the side characters. And so in that way, they're probably my least favorite. You know, I have to go back and say, oh, they need friends. They need people to talk to, you know, so to add them in. So maybe that's part of my introverted writing life. You know, it's like, I'm so focused on my stuff. I don't have a lot of outside activity or outside friends. And so I have to say, you know, in the real world, people have all these extra people in their lives. You know, so I have to go back. So I'm going to say in general, all the side characters.
And they can be hard too, because like you said, you want them to play a role, but you don't want them to overshadow your main characters either.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And sometimes I've had a lot of fun with them, but right, they can't overshadow. And readers will come back and say, oh, I love this character so much. But I'm like, he's not even supposed to be, you know, important at all.
So many of our books, it's been a kid or a dog who's kind of stole the show for us that we all fell in love with.
Right.
I mean, we loved the main characters, but yeah.
Right. In fact, in this, I'm working on a new series now, and I was thinking about adding a dog, but I thought.
They always steal the show, don't they?
Yes, they do. They do.
Oh, it's just the way it goes. We all have a big heart for them, I think. So did you do research for the book? And if you did, was there any fun facts that you came across?
Well, all of my books just, I probably do more research than, spend more time researching than I do writing. And if you look at my Scrivener or Scrivener, I don't even know how to say that, but all the files is tremendous amount of research and just a few files for writing. But on this book, oh gosh, there was so many different things I had to look into. And one of the things that I learned, and I really don't even want to say anything because it's part of the twist, so I can't say it.
You don't have to. That's all right.
But I will say, you know, since my character is a forensic artist, I did a ton of research, you know, about that. I've written about them before, but it's just learning how a lot of artists, forensic artists, prefer still to do things the old way. They like to sketch or they like to do the clay instead of using the computer because, you know, it's just, I don't know. There's something about that. And I did base the story off of a mother-daughter team out of Michigan that had a real gift for being very accurate because, you know, people can do these sketches and I mean, they could still just be anybody. They could still be inaccurate. They don't necessarily bring justice, but this particular team, mother and daughter team, just had a gift, I think, a gift from God maybe, to really be so accurate that they just were able to put a lot of people away. So I kind of based my character on that, but I just thought it was fascinating because in the world of art, you know, or science and forensic art, it's still really a gift. You know, when you really can bring justice, to bring people to justice, you know, you really require that God-inspired gift. I mean, computers are not really always going to get you there. AI, whatever.
Yes, this is very true. Very true. Do you ever, or have you ever had the opportunity to interview experts in the fields of like your characters?
Yes, I'm trying to think of different people. I usually just email and, you know, have the conversation or email, but sometimes it's been phone calls and then maybe rarely Zoom calls. But, you know, there's usually people always very willing to answer all of the questions and steer in the right direction. I know, like, for instance, my Present Danger, which was book one in, Rocky Mountain Courage. I was trying to write a Forest Service federal agent. I'm trying to think of what that was called, special agent. And it was like, did anybody even know those exist, right? And so where do I find the information? But so I ended up emailing back and forth with the special agent in charge of the whole region. And he just, you know, he gave me all kinds of answers and actually redirected the story in a whole new way that I couldn't have thought of, you know? So, I mean, yeah, you have to do that. And it can really inform you and add things, ideas in that you hadn't thought of. So it's always a good idea to do that. And, you know, I try to make sure that I get everything right, but writers are human. And of course there's always going to, you know, you can't help it. There just might be a mistake here and there. So.
Yeah. But I think it's probably always interesting and neat to connect with those experts in real life. And just some of the careers, right? Sometimes even myself, I go, I didn't even know that was a job.
Right. I'd love to use those. I love to find those. That's one of the things I'm always looking for, something that people haven't heard of or it's not very used very commonly. And try, but then also the research on that can be very difficult because if it's not a common thing, you know, and then so there's sometimes, you know, you can find the book written, especially nowadays, those experts in those interesting fields will write a book, a self-publish a book about their experience. So, and put that on Amazon. So those are good things to look for too.
Yeah. That's a great idea. I didn't think about that. This is a little bonus question, side question. When it comes to humor, do you like to put humor in your books?
Yes, I try to. I think sometimes my people don't necessarily understand my humor, you know, but that's okay. That's going to be the case no matter where you are, what you're doing. But yeah, I just, my characters have to have fun. They have to have the back and forth banter. You know, there's got to be the intense suspense and the romance, and there's got to be those moments of just being funny. And sometimes, you know, when you can put it in there, but it doesn't mean it's going to come across the way that you say it when you're writing it, you know. So sometimes I have to tweak it or even delete it because my editor didn't understand what I was trying to say. But yeah, definitely. But I don't write rom-com. I can't say that, anything like that.
Right. It's just sometimes I found in some of our suspense books that just one moment of humor to just, like you said, it kind of gives the reader a little downtime.
Levity. For you. Yeah. Yeah, you got to have that. I love all those little moments like that. I've recently started trying to put my daughter, I'm having her read my books before I send it to my editor. And I put eggs in there for, you know, little things. Like in this last book, there was a it was just like a little music box with a ballerina. And she was dancing to the song from Anastasia and Once Upon a December. I don't know if you know that song. But
I do. I love that movie.
I know she had that, you know, growing up. And I said, I put an egg in there for you. You know, so I'm always trying to put really fun, you know, just that's what makes a story more interesting. It's not just the, you know, the mundane. It's all of the lively characters and the fun things they can say to each other and just, you know, being creative in their speech and their conversation and everything they do. So it's makes my life fun too. But I have my family to inform me too, because they're just, they're comedians. They're just all day long comedians.
Yes. Yes. I love it. So I know you write in the Christian contemporary yes. suspense romance. So what is something you hope your readers can walk away with as they read your novels or this novel in particular?
Yeah. In this novel. Well, in particular, I found a moment for myself in the book that I hope the readers will find, but there's a moment where my character is standing out on this veranda that overlooks, if you can imagine, a high cliff, and then it's just jutting out over the ocean or the rocky beach, and the waves are crashing below, and the water's just violent, and she's looking out over that, and it's raining, and on the concrete on the veranda, there's a plaque that says, "He leads me by still waters," you know, Psalm, I think it's 23:2, Psalm 23.
Yep, 23.
But, you know, and she just thinks, you know, are these waters ever calm? But no, the message is no matter what is going on around us, you know, inside, we can still be calm. And so, you know, that just, I don't try to plan ahead the spiritual, you know, I just have to let it kind of grow organically. And that for me was a moment for me, you know, in my own life that, you know, inside we can still be calm because God leads us by still waters. And so anyway, I hope the readers will gather that too. Is there, you know, all of this chaos and the perilous tides, and still God is there holding us and can keep us calm.
That's wonderful. I love that. I just heard, I can't think of the singer, but she is singing Psalm 23. It's like, okay. Anxiety cannot stand against Psalm 23. And then she sings the words of it. I'll have to look that up. If I find it, I'll put a link in the blog post for this episode.
Yes, yes.
It's a beautiful song. And so that's why when you said that, I'm like, I just heard that this morning. It is Psalm 23. So
yeah, so it must be a message for you. And then anybody listening.
Yes, that's right. Today, God can bring you the calm for sure. And I'm sure you could say this too, Elizabeth. There's been many moments when it's been chaotic around me, but somehow, some way, I'm like, I'm at peace. It's okay.
Yeah, the peace that passes understanding, you know, and talks about, because it's just, there's no really reason for you to have that peace, but it's God giving it to you.
Right. Yes, definitely. I love that. It makes me even more excited to read the books. I cannot wait.
So.
And so just to kind of leave off with, because you're new to our listeners, how can our listeners connect with you?
Well, first of all, go to my website, elizabethgoddard.com. And I recently got a new website and I just love it. I've got the live crashing waves to represent Hidden Bay on the homepage. And right there beneath that, you can sign up for my newsletter and get a free downloadable ebook called Collision Course. My subscribers get that. And then on the website also, you can find all the little icons for my social media. You can find me on Facebook and on Twitter and on Instagram and on Goodreads and all the other ones. Not all of them, but just some of them, most of them. So yeah, so that's really the easiest way. And again, the subscribers list and then all the icons for the social media. So I look forward to meeting new readers.
Yes. And I highly, highly recommend Elizabeth's book. I know I haven't made it in there, but just talking to you, Elizabeth, I know I'm going to love it.
I hope so.
So I can't wait to to dive in. And I have a feeling we might, is book three coming out next year then? Is that?
It is in February, I believe. Yes. I'm trying to write two books a year for Revell. So this is two, you know, the Storm Warning and then Perilous Ties. And then I believe Deadly Currents is book three. And that's really kind of bringing in Evelyn Monroe's story. So, it's exciting.
Looking forward to that. And I think what we might do is just bring that series on and bring you back on next year. Yeah. So we'll definitely stay in contact and make sure we can do that. Cause I have a feeling our listeners are going to love to learn more about your books for sure.
I hope so. And please let me know what you think after you read the first book. And
of course.
Email me. So I look forward to it.
Of course. We'll do that. Well, thank you so much, Elizabeth, for chatting with me today and just sharing more about you and your books with our listeners.
And thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider sharing our podcast. Every share helps us reach more readers and authors like you. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.